Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the presentation of Telenor's results for the second quarter 2009. My name is Pål Kvalheim, and I have the pleasure of guiding you through this morning's presentation. We hope everyone has the material made available, that is the press release, the quarterly report, and the presentation to be used here shortly. They can be found at the back of the room or on telenor.com. You can watch this presentation live or in recording on the internet or on a mobile phone, and we'll also send in the written questions during the transmission, and information on these alternatives may be found on our website. As usual, there will be a Q&A session after the presentation, first here from the audience present, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, the opportunity to conduct individual interviews. To present our figures here today, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Trond Westlie. Without further ado, I leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, thank you, Pål. And good morning to and welcome to all of you here to Fornebu to this second quarter 2009 reporting. There is a new business environment out there, and there are certain effects in this also to the Telenor figures. But on the other hand, we are also seeing some growth signs in some of our markets, so the picture is a bit balanced. The macro trends that we saw earlier this year in the first quarter is more or less also coming through in this quarter reporting package. There is a continued pressure on the top line, but there are also some positive signs in some of our markets. We communicated this at the beginning of this year, and the priority that we will focus on this year was to secure cost efficiency and make sure that there is a sound CapEx control around in our operating companies. And I think I can say that on this second quarter reporting package, I think we can say that we have shown performance in that direction. We have continued to execute on these priorities, and we've seen the results, both in terms of fairly solid EBITDA margin as well as a strong cash flow in this quarter. Coming to cash flow, I will start in the Nordics. Here we have a very strong performance in Norway this quarter. There is a solid EBITDA margin in Mobile Norway, driven by revenue growth and lower sales and marketing spend. And on the growth side, both mobile internet contributes, as well as the ongoing migration of fixed voice minutes pouring into the mobile handsets. There is a strong momentum on mobile internet, broadband in all the three Nordic markets in this quarter, and all in all, we've reached more than 500,000 connections. The rebranding in Denmark that was done in June will focus more strongly on the Telenor profile, and it will give a holistic market approach for mobile services in the Danish competitive marketplace. The 10 billion operating cash flow target, we've been moving in that direction in this quarter. This is within reach towards the end of the year. We're not there quite yet, but there is a steady improvement. And the operating cash flow in this quarter was 2.4 billion kroner. And Trond will come back to this more in detail in his part of the presentation. In the Nordics, it's Sweden that is still our most challenging marketplace. Here we have initiated a downsizing exercise for the organization, which was announced in May, and it is expected to take place towards the end of this year. The full effects of this will come into the 2010 figures. There is also a necessity to adjust CapEx and market spend according to market development in general. And also to be more precise on how we use our market activities and how we make ourselves visible in the competitive marketplace in Sweden. The infrastructure sharing deal with Tele2, which has a more long-term profile, will secure an efficient CapEx situation for our Swedish operation many years into the future. So then move to another region of our operations, namely that of Central and Eastern Europe. We've here seen an overall stabilization of the market and macro situation in more or less all the countries, though the characteristics of this being a bit different from market to market. This is for sure the case for Kyivstar, where we did see a small pickup in usage from Q1 with reasonably stable price level in the marketplace. And due to a very strong OPEX control, we have been able to maintain the EBITDA margin in the 50s, in the high 50s, despite the fairly high inflation rate in Ukraine. We are, of course, year over year harmed by the weakening of the Ukrainian hryvnia. However, this currency has been fairly stable in this quarter compared to other currencies. So the drop seems to come towards the end of last year and into 2009. In Serbia, we've seen a lower year-over-year revenue growth than we have been used to in the last quarters. But still, we have been able to deliver a 30% cash flow margin. There is an effect of the financial crisis in Serbia, and this has become more visible in this second quarter of 2009 than we've seen before. And the government has also increased taxation, which may lead to usage drop to a certain extent coming forward. But we also see that under circumstances like this, like in Hungary, for example, that the market generally seen fairly quickly adjusts to these kinds of parameters. But there is a short-term effect we expect. Moving to Hungary, Pannon is able to keep the EBITDA margin at the 40% level. There is a revenue decline there, mostly explained by the fall in mobile termination rates. Also here, there is a tax hike on the excise side of the tax system, where they have raised the VAT from 20 to 25%, and may also, as a consequence, affect consumer spending in the shorter time span. In Russia, Infocom is doing fine. During the last few months, there has been an increased media focus on the conflict side of the relationship with our partner. Our WIP shares have been arrested since the 11th of March, and for a practical purpose, an enforced sale could have taken place. This has not taken place, and as you know, the activity level around this with our appeals, etc., is part of the final development in this case. There is not maybe much new to report other than the new hearing expected to take place 30th of September, which is a delay from 10th of June. Coming to Asia, we see other positive trends, similar to those in Norway, in particular in Grameenphone. Grameenphone has maintained a very solid EBITDA margin in this quarter, leaves it in the high 50s. There is a 10% organic revenue growth, despite, I have to say, also the fact that the mobile termination rates were cut in half earlier this year. But the price situation is fairly positive during this period of the year, and that has also led to a fairly nominal growth in subscriber growth. The IPO in Grameenphone is expected to take place towards the end of this year. That has been a fairly long route to go, but now it looks like it's on stream. Both Malaysia and Thailand have reported their figures previously this week. There is a pressure in both countries on revenues, primarily coming from international calling patterns. However, the local activity seems to be fairly much in place. In Pakistan, though, we've had a very good quarter, experiencing significant customer growth, close to 900,000, which is a very strong figure under the present circumstances, we feel, and we are securing our number two position by this kind of customer growth. And this is also the very best margin quarter reported from Telenor Pakistan so far. The cash flow in Asia has then improved considerably throughout this this year, and as a consequence, and this comes as a consequence primarily from the improvements in Bangladesh and Pakistan. In India, we are preparing for launch. In the Q1 reporting package, we indicated a slight delay from the initial launch point of time. However, we are looking very strongly at the launch sometime in Q4. We have been able to be a bit more precise on the outlook for figures of 2009 regarding India, and Tom might come back to that. And there will also be occasions later this autumn, as of a Capital Markets Day in September, to dive more deeply into the details of the Indian project. Closing then in, we are maintaining our priorities for 2009. Namely that of cost efficiencies and CapEx control, leading to improved cash flow margins. And this comes as a consequence of the new trends in the marketplace that we're operating. The results in the first half of 2009 confirms this direction. We've managed to execute on exactly capital control and OPEX efficiencies, and there is more to be done. This awareness is growing in the group. There will be efficiency programs executed in all our operations in a bit of the banner that Tore Johnsen described for DTAC yesterday. And we do expect for the rest of the year a continued pressure on revenues for the second half. However, we're also very happy that the growth elements in some of our markets seems to be something that we also can be looking forward to in the second half of this year. And then, of course, the startup in India is our main focus for the second half of 2009. And with these words, I hand over to Trond.
Thank you very much, Fredrik, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will go through the numbers for the second quarter that is very much in line with the first quarter trends. We see an organic revenue decline of approximately 3% and a stable EBITDA margin of 35%. We see that going from second quarter of 2008, we're coming from the 27 billion revenue base to approximately the same 27 billion. So nominal reported figures is approximately flat. And you also see that the trend line in the margin actually developed round about the 35% level, round about in the same quarter. So as a result, going from also from the first quarter this year, we see a very stable trend going forward. Changes in revenues and EBITDA. In general, we see a reported figure on flattish on 0.5% and organic decline of 3.5%, but we see an adjusted decline of 0.7%. But as usual, when you look at the dilemma or the portfolio companies included, you see that it is a big variety of changes. Specifically on the revenue side, you see that the Kyivstar is actually having a reported decline of almost 30% due to the currency changes. The underlying changes in Ukraine, though, is that it is an organic decline on revenue on top line basis for approximately 8%, which is still one of the highest levels that is not on a sort of influenced by a one-time or one incident like in DPAC here, which has a one-off from last year going in. Going to the EBITDA number, we see a very positive trend here in Mobile Norway and some of our Asian markets. But in general, a slight decline in most markets, leaving us at the 0.7%. In general, we have a positive currency effect of Denmark and from the Asian region. All the others are basically slightly negative. One element on this is, of course, that as a result of having a decline of 3% on the revenue side and maintaining the EBITDA margin, you also see that we're actually able to keep the nominal level of cost. So in regards to looking at the inflation level in some of our countries, we have been able to maintain the cost level at a certain basis in this first half year of 2009 compared to 2008. Looking at the CapEx, we see that we have these quarter numbers on 3.3 billion, and it's a decline from last year of almost 5 billion kronas. Going to the bridge, you can see that most of that decline is coming in Asia, but we see a decline in all our regions relative to the CapEx spending during the quarter. And then looking at the result coming into the operational cash flow, we see that the level of the from the last two quarters coming into a 6 billion kroner operational cash flow level, from the second quarter of 4.5 going up to last year to 6 this year. And you also see the trend line at the fourth quarter rolling basis. You see that the trend line is actually developing very positively, as we have been expecting for the period. Having said that, even though we're coming up to more than 21 million in the four quarter rolling operational cash flow, as a result of getting closer to launch in India, we do not expect that to continue as a result of CapEx and OpEx being spent in India. So we do expect this trend to go downwards for the coming period when we are launching or ramping up in India as such. If we then look at the details for the different regions, relative to our cash flow target of 10 billion in the Nordic section, we see that we have increased over the year, we have actually increased the operational fourth quarter rolling operational cash flow from almost 8 to 8.8, so basically to 900 million plus. In the Nordic region, we see 0.4% or 0.4 billion growth in the Central and Eastern Europe. And even though we see a trend down decline here, the growth in cash flow from the Asian region is actually offsetting all of the decline in the Central and Eastern Europe. So in total, we see the positive trend continuing. And this is also Asian is also going to be affected by the Indian launch going forward. The third slide on cash flow is just showing you country by country on the fourth quarter rolling average compared to last year, and we see that it's a slight positive trend in the Nordic region. It's a good positive trend in the Central and Eastern Europe. We see a positive trend. Everybody is above the 30% mark. We see good growth in cash flow in Serbia, also in Provence, and slight growth both in Kyivstar and in Pan. The major growth is, of course, coming from Asia, and that's the turnover in Grameenphone coming from a negative to a positive. To a 33% cash flow margin on the positive side in the last four quarters, and also a much less negative impact from Pakistan. And that the basic sentiment of the changes the last few quarters has come from changing sort of the tide in Bangladesh and Pakistan. Then going to the reported figures. And we see a slight growth in top line numbers from 23.7 to 24.5 billion in Norwegian kroners, an EBITDA of almost 7.9 billion, and an EBITDA of 7.8 billion Norwegian kroners. And then we have an impairment loss, meaning a write down of goodwill in the Serbia. And the reason for that is that the changes of Serbian economy as a result of the changes have both influenced Serbia economy as such, but also increased the country risk premiums. That has included for us on the discount rates looking forward. So it's the most important part of the write-down is the change in the discount rates, but it's also, of course, the impact of economy, that is our view of leverage margin as well as growth expectations going forward. So that has been taken down by 1.9 billion or a bit lower than 2 billion Norwegian kroner. Leaves earnings before interest and tax to slightly below 2 billion. The total is that companies of 1.569 is basically comprised out of Kyivstar with short of 500 million and VimpelCom with a bit more than 1 billion. There are some adjustments from prior quarters as well as fourth quarter in that number, taking the number from VimpelCom down with approximately 300 million down to the short of 1.1 billion Norwegian kroner. Net financials is basically in line with last year, so profit before tax is then 3 billion, 114 million kroners. As a result of the write-down in impairment, which has no tax consequence, we have then for this quarter a fairly high tax percentage coming up to the 42%. The change in the tax percentage for the year has not changed. The tax effect for, or the tax percentage for a year is approximately calculated to about 33%, including the effects of India. That leaves a net income of short of 1.8 billion Norwegian kroners and an earnings per share of 86 øre. Development in net interest-bearing debt this quarter has been positive. The main reason going from 40 billion Norwegian kroners to about 35 billion Norwegian kroners has been very little currency effect, net currency effect on the debt side during the quarter. So most of the effects comes out of the earnings of almost 8 billion Norwegian kroners, less the taxes, interest, and capex paid. Dividend received from Kyivstar a bit more than 2 billion. And then of course, adjustment of dividends, leaving us with a net change of almost 5 billion down to the 35 billion net debt level. And then, summing up with the outlook for 2009, we included here two columns, one including India and one excluding India, as a result of reference to our last guidance. So with that reference, the organic revenue is going to be in line with 2008, but as we say, however, slightly on the negative side, we do see still a pressure on the top side, so it's not going to be zero, but it's going to be sort of in line but slightly lower. We still see a margin around the 34% level, and then we lowered the CapEx expectations with 2 percentage points from last time to announce that we're going to see a CapEx to sales 13 to 15%. That is also including the launch of a satellite in broadcast later this year. For including India, the organic revenue is still the same. With India, we see a margin between 32 and 33%, and a CapEx to sales of 16 to 19%. At the bottom of the page, we also included the numbers, as we've done earlier when guiding on India for 2009. We lowered the EBITDA loss to, and expect that to be between 1.5 and 2 billion Norwegian kroners, and CapEx to be between 3.5 to 4.5 billion as such. So in general, lowered expectations on CapEx in operations, as well as lowered the cost spending in India, as well as lowering the CapEx in India, leaving us with the guidance of the year of improved cash flow of plus 5 billion Norwegian kroners. And that was it from me.
Thank you, Tom. We're now ready to take your questions, so I invite Mr. Buxell back on the podium. Before you ask your questions, please wait for a microphone and please be so kind as to introduce yourself. Stop. Do you have a microphone? There's one question here on the top.
Congratulations very much with the very strong underlying operating results, and particularly the operating cash flow. And with that in mind, I have two questions. One of them is the reduced India CapEx guidance. Is a kind of run rate of 2 billion Norwegian kroner per quarter, is that what we all should be expecting for 2010? And then my second question, again, similar, now that you said operating cash flow for 2009 will be improving by about 5 billion Norwegian kroner, could you just comment again on dividends for 2009? Is it still too early to start dividend payment plan again? Thank you.
Well, when it comes to the guidance on India, the business plan as such has not been altered relative to the fundamental element of cash spending, both on operations and sort of the sum of operation and CapEx. So this is more sort of a sliding as a result of not launching until the fourth quarter and thereby sliding it over in 2010. How that's actually going to be effectful in 2010 relative to when we see the detailed schedules of 2010, I'm not fully able to say that something might slide over to 2011 or not. I'm not able to do that right now. But the total CapEx or the cash spending, as we have said earlier, still remains of India as such. Just a timing difference. Coming to dividends, our opinion still stands on dividends. We see that the progress of developing going forward on the cash flow wise is improving. But we're not ready to adjust that statement out of this time. We just have to wait and see how things go.
Any further questions from the audience? Well, if there are no further questions from the audience, I then call upon the call conference host to introduce questions from the participants on the phone.
The first question is from Mr. Nick Adolfas, company Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, thanks very much. Just a quick question. There have been press reports about disposals of one of your operations in local press. I mean, in general, what is your attitude to reassessing operations where maybe the long-term return on capital isn't going to meet your targets? Is that something that you would consider?
I think our comment to that is, as it would have been in the previous conditions as well. I think you are specifically referring to some writings around potential activities in Pakistan. Let me be very clear on this. Telenor is always long-term, and we are moving into every market the way we've done. Pakistan, though, is a market that, where we can expect some consolidation to happen. So there is no wonder that speculation in some way or another comes forward. So, generally speaking, as we said before, in-country consolidation, when meaningful to the market balance, the number of players, etc., that is part of what we are following in every market. Generally speaking, this kind of consolidation might both be in country as well as on the regional level. And since Telenor now are in both Asia and Central and Eastern Europe, we are part of that agenda in this industry.
But if I could just follow up, is that in general where you want to remain invested in the market even post the consolidation? Is that what I'm, when you say you're long term?
The longer term industry profile of Telenor should be very clear. How these consolidations then will play out under specific circumstances, that remains to be seen.
Okay, thanks so much.
Next up, Mr. Peter Cognielsen.
Yeah, thank you. Peter Cognielsen from Shearwell in London. A couple of questions related to the domestic operations, please. You've now shown a second quarter in a row with an EBITDA margin in the domestic fixed business of 36%. Your previous target, Frederick, has been 35%. Has anything here would make you a bit more optimistic on that front, given the good performance you've shown the last 6 months? And my second question relates to mobile. You talked about lower marketing and sales expenses in the quarter. Could you elaborate a little bit? Is that a sort of a market-driven? Have you seen easing of competition in the market? Or would you expect that to marketing to come up again in the second half of the year? And if I may just return to the first question here on Pakistan or your comments of in market consolidation, would you, I assume, have an ambition of remaining in control of any of your operations that were to enter such in market consolidation in such a hypothetical case, please? Thank you.
If we take a comment to the domestic question first, in 2009 we have an intensity of challengers in the Norwegian market that might be sort of a bit softer in 2009 than what it's been before. But from the established players, the intensity in the market activity is as before. And but also the fact that the number of new handheld entities in first half of 2009 is lower than what it's been before, despite the fact that we launched the iPhone in this period. Then to your fixed part, yes, we are very, very satisfied that we are able to maintain the levels of margin in the fixed activities in Norway. But remember here, this is a very long time earned exercise, and people engage in this on a continuously operating manner, are working at cost efficiencies all the time. So it's become a habit of theirs, and if you take the longer route from, say, 2002-2003 onwards to today, it's done a phenomenal job to keep cost structures in line with revenue development. We haven't revised our long-term target around fixed, But this quarter seems to be a good one, also driven by some higher wholesale revenues. As to your comment on consolidation, the general comment for Telenor in that respect is that we want to be in majority in our operation in the longer term picture. We haven't revised that position. We want to be an industry and strategic partner around the table, that is our go-to-market business model, and so it will be also for the future.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Stefan Petersen, Nordea.
Yes, hello. I would like to talk a little bit about Ukraine and Bangladesh. If we start with Ukraine, there again you report very solid EBITDA margin. It's also stabilization of the ARPU, but you are losing market share where the other operators are offering zero on-net tariffs. Can you give an update on the market situation in Ukraine? And for Bangladesh, it's there you reported very solid subscription revenues, and you state also in the report that the average prices are up. If the pricing situation and effect of less campaigns with 3 minutes, or is the pricing situation improving generally in Bangladesh?
I'll start a bit on Ukraine. The operation in Ukraine is very solid in this quarter. The fundamentals around the domestic economy in Ukraine, you all know, is a challenging one. But Kyivstar has been doing extremely well, balancing this in their operation in this quarter. With the minus that you described, namely that of a reduced number of subscribers in the range of 500,000. We have now revised our service offering, in particular in the youth segment, using the Viju brand with a zero on net profile in the pricing structure to meet this development. And we for sure hope that that initiative will lead to that Kyivstar also will be perceived competitive in this segment. On the other hand, it's important to note that the revenue market share is anticipated to be 50% plus as unstable compared to previous quarters. In Bangladesh, Tom?
Well, the development in Bangladesh is not necessarily the campaigns as such. I do think that we revised our prices upwards some quarters back, and we saw that the competitors were following that action. Well, they are, at least the main competitors were following that reaction. And we have seen that until lately, and now lately we've seen some price developments for some of them, but not for a long period of time, and it's only campaigns. So fundamentally, we do think that the price stabilization in Bangladesh has started to happen, and people are, or the, our competitors are also acknowledging that they come down to a price per minute now that is basically below 1 cent, US cent, a minute, that is so low that the only company making money down in Bangladesh is Telenor, so or Grameenphone. So basically, we do expect to see a slightly trending upward bounce on the side going forward. So in that sense, I do think that yes, we expect to see the bottom of the pricing in Bangladesh, but. For the ones that are following the market in Bangladesh, it is a jungle of campaigns out there every quarter, and we see that that's still going to continue. So we don't see the sort of the competitive landscape as such trees now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Ulrich Rathe, Societe Generale, London.
Thank you. Over to Dr. Chen. Two questions. One sort of ties into an earlier question that was raised in particular with regards to the Ukraine. I'd like to get this more in the big picture. With your CapEx cuts that you have now executed or that you're now guiding for 2009, do you feel that the CapEx levels that you're spending, in particular in Asia, are in line with your growth prospects there that obviously have decreased a bit, or are you currently really stepping on the CapEx brakes very much in order to free up capital for the India project and maybe you're sort of even underspending a bit for this still significant usage growth that you're seeing if only not so much from subscribers, if only from the minute of use increase? That would be my first question on the CapEx in the big picture. Second one is very specific to Norway Mobile, where I see the usage declining. Is this simply a mix effect due to higher mobile internet subscription, or is there an underlying usage decrease? And if yes, why would that be? Thank you.
If I start on the overall picture, if we take an operation like Ukraine, for example, when we have a reduction in the growth profile that we had, as well as also the overall total number of minutes in the network, there is capacity in a mobile network that can handle this without sort of continuing the CapEx profile. It's quite obvious that you're able to run your assets in a smarter way under those kind of circumstances. The overall picture, when we look on how we spend our CapEx, is also related to how competitors are moving in the competitive field. Is it so that competitors are building coverage, extra coverage, new coverage, and new capacities? Then it goes into the equation on how much CapEx we as an operator under those circumstances will be. And I think we are in a time frame now where all operators basically are having a break phase for how to spend on their CapEx time. And so it's a more diverse picture than only to look at it from your perspective. You have to extend the perspective a bit also to that of competitors. As for the time being, we feel no difficulties in having the CapEx profile that we have as today. But of course, this may change depending on the trends in the economy and how also other players will both be financed and how they will run their activities. And mobile broadband, by the way, is still the number one growth driver in many markets, and also has to be handled in the same way. As for Norwegian, you might be able to...
Well, it's hard to see how you can analyze the sharp decline in usage in mobile Norway. My number shows that we have about approximately 249 minutes in Norway this quarter. Same quarter last year, we had 251, so it's a 2-minute change. If you take quarter on quarter, last quarter had 243, then increasing now to this year, this minute of use of 249. So to see that this is a general trend of decline of minutes of use coming to mobile, no, we cannot see that. And we do see some seasonality effects during the year. So if you go to the sort of our enclosures in page 44, our total presentation, you basically see the minutes of use.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Andrew Lee, if you please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions. One, especially on Swedish Mobile. Cost cutting is going to come through as a clear positive here, but how do you think your competitive position is in this market today, and do you see this improving over the next 12 to 24 months? And secondly, a slightly broader question on CapEx across the group as a whole. When your CapEx cuts are a clear positive for near-term cash flow, but do you think you're sacrificing long-term competitiveness in any markets as a result? And if not, why not? Thank you.
Remember here that in Sweden there are three business lines. It's that of fixed voice, it's that of broadband, and it's that of mobile. In the mobile area, there is an underlying growth in on the retail level. So it's a bit of a mixed picture compared to sort of saying that the Swedish market is only characterized by mobile as such. There has been in all the Nordic countries a strong sentiment into mobile internet high-speed access in this period. And this is not strange because when you're leading up to the summer holiday, people take a look on what's out there for internet access, and generally there is a boost ahead of the summer holidays for that kind of service. And I think we are as competitive as we shall in Sweden in that respect. The overall picture, though, is that the cost structures are too high in the operations in relation to the overall income revenue development for all three business lines. And this is what we approach when we do the downsizing in the ambition of making things more efficient and more simple in the Swedish operation. In many ways, a bit of the same that we have been executing here in Norway over quite some number of years. As to the second part of your question, I think that is exactly the same type of question that we got from the previous person that asked the question about the long-term profile on CapEx, so I don't feel that it's necessary to repeat that.
The question on CapEx was more about how you see that affecting your competitiveness on a two-year basis.
As I said during my the previous question, under the present circumstances, we are putting into the equation when you evaluate this the behavior of our competitors in every market as to what kind of capacities and coverage they are putting into their marketplace on an ongoing or rolling basis. That will, of course, also have something to do on how we spend our... An example for that is the build-up in Pakistan, for example, when both Mobilink and Telenor built in parallel in Pakistan, extending their coverage. We both opened new market areas and we benefited from building a new market around us under those circumstances. So I think that is the best example I can bring forward right now.
Thank you very much.
Mr. James Britton, Nomura, please go ahead.
So good morning. Two questions, please. First of all, just in terms of driving this cost efficiency culture through the group, can you give any specific examples of cost efficiency measures which you will be pushing down from the new business unit at the group centre? And secondly, with respect to your network joint venture initiative in Sweden, are there any other markets where you might be interested in this sort of arrangement?
Examples. I mean, the most visible examples on how you develop group synergies is that of purchasing. There's no doubt that the size of the group has enabled us to have an ambition of working on making the best terms possibly from those vendors in the teleculture as well as in the IT sphere. The other element is, of course, that of competence sharing, both in the markets and distribution activities, and that in on how you deploy technology in general. So there are a number of initiatives across the group that is originating more or less in the center of the group, and being developed in the companies, and vice versa, for that matter. When it comes to infrastructure sharing,
actually one of the best examples of infrastructure sharing is how the wholesale market has been developed in Norway over the years in the fixed line area, where we have had an extensive infrastructure sharing principle at the bottom, and where there are layers of service functionality that other players can utilize from the number one network holder, namely that of Telenor. Infrastructure sharing, the way it's displayed at display in India, will be a new way of thinking also into other markets in for Telenor.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Sumit Dutta in New Street Research.
Yeah, good morning. I was hoping, first of all, you might be able to provide a general update on the pricing trends in India over the last quarter or so. And with that in mind, I wondered if you could comment at all on the launch of Loop Telecom, one of your competitors. I think I'm right in saying they've launched in a number of the circles that you're planning on launching in Q4. Can you sort of talk through maybe what you've seen from them, and is there some sort of risk that they've stolen your thunder somewhat? Thanks very much.
When it comes to the launch in India, the growth in India is significant in this period, and we saw that last year when we looked for that specific market. We were absolutely sure that the Indian market would grow in penetration from below 30, and through saying that the market would double until 2012. I think we're seeing exactly that happening in these days. So from our own ambition, we need to be at street level as soon as possible. And that's why a launch in fourth quarter is so important. As to comment on one specific operator's launch, I think we have to be competitive whether or not there is a newcomer or an existing player. So it's not that easy to sort of say that one is coming here using the vacuum cleaner before us. I don't think, we ourselves will be as efficient when we come to the marketplace as others might be.
And if I can quickly follow up on pricing, I think you said that the Q1 numbers, there were signs of stability in pricing generally in India. Is that something you're still sort of fairly comfortable with?
We're fairly comfortable on that, but it will always be so that any newcomer will always have to use the pricing mechanism create attraction in the first place. And remember, a newcomer will also be the one that has the most capacity available when he starts. That will go for us as well. Whereas the longer-term picture is so that since market leaders already do run fairly full networks, such operators do not have the same ability to pull in, for example, 3 minutes as the ones with more capacity in the early launch period. And the stabilization development has, the market has exactly showed that, both when also Reliance came with their offerings, beginning of this year.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Jacob Bluestone, Merrill Lynch.
Just two fairly brief questions. Firstly, can you just give us an update on what your expectations are for license costs over the next 12, 18 months? And then secondly, just returning to the subject of consolidation that you talked about earlier, could you provide any insight into other markets aside from Pakistan and India, which you've talked about in the past, where you potentially see consolidation happening? Thanks.
To your last point, I don't have any specific viewpoints on that. Your speculations in that is as good as mine. So, and to comment on it specifically is not that relevant, if
No, we don't have any. Well, we're not commenting on specific cost numbers, but we do see that licenses are rumored, at least, or stated by some public officials that it might come up with a 3G license in Thailand. We see that something might come up in Bangladesh and in Pakistan. It is a potential that something is coming up in Ukraine. And that's basically the sort of the four elements. And, of course, there are some saying about some 4G in Denmark. But the timing and the specific time events of that, so whether it's within the 12 months or might be longer, and what our positions are in those regards, that is too early to come with any statement. And to give you any cost indications on that would be almost impossible.
That's great. Thank you.
Steve Malcolm, Arete Research.
Yeah, just one question on broadband. It seems that your sort of the number of DSL lines are sort of constantly slipping at the moment, and I guess cable's taking share. Can you just give us your sort of your overall thoughts on the broadband market in Norway, and how you think about losing share to your own cable business and leakage outside that, and what you think your sort of overall retail picture looks like in terms of market share, and how that impacts going forward, and what you do to try and reduce the drag from cable outside the group over the next few quarters? Thanks.
The broadband market is exactly characterized by the elements that you referred. I think you can split the broadband market originating from the fixed line system in two groups, if not three. DSL will become sort of a technology that reach out to the whole of the marketplace in Norway, whereas cable reaches out to roughly set a little bit below half of the whole number of households in the Norwegian marketplace. And due to the distribution of how households are located in this country, the number of households will not increase outside the cities. It's only in the cities that households has a small potential for increase. And where cable is, then cable is a superior capacity product in the broadband seen from a customer perspective compared to DSL because of speed. But there is also a value chain to fix from that technology into the house of the customers, and the cable operators have struggled a bit, us included, to get that value chain in good operation. So then the third element is that of fiber. And fiber rollout is something that we also are in the initial stages of in this period. And here the electrical companies do have ambitions, primarily out of Lysetele in Stavanger region, as well as in the Oslo region. And they will naturally concentrate only on the city areas, or not only, that may be a strong to say, but primarily for the city areas.
Can I ask another, a follow-up there? I mean, I guess in a time when capital is relatively scarce, where you have cable footprint, you know, are you more inclined to invest money in, you know, relatively modest upgrades, DOCSIS 3, as opposed to, you know, pushing fiber to the premise or fiber to the curb? How do you think about that as you, I guess, place more scrutiny on the allocation of capital across the group? Thanks.
The answer to that is yes. We are of the opinion that the cable functionality is at a customer level a very good functional internet access product with all necessary speed available.
And if you look at the decline of the DSL number base, you're also going to see basically the same number or a bit more pick up all the customers on the broadband side. So you basically have a balancing view from a group perspective relative to customer base.
I mean, is it worth going forward sort of giving us more granularity on the overall broadband numbers, including cable, and sort of how your market share plays out?
Well,
we see the leakage from DSL to cable, you know, where that's not necessarily harmful for the group, but, you know, all we see is the DSL numbers, really, which makes it a bit harder, I guess.
Well, that might be the case, and we have to consider that.
And, okay. And we have, and we've reached a ceiling as to what number of households in Norway that really pay for broadband access overall. And that ceiling is probably around 1.3, 1.4 million households.
Okay.
Roughly two-thirds, so what's out there?
Great. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Jarnes, what is the other spoken?
Thank you. Yep, yeah, the detailed question come back to India just to confirm that the plan is still for CapEx to be 12 billion for the first 3 years, or will you update us on that at the analyst meeting?
No, that number is still on India, as I said earlier. The business plan in India still stands firm relative to the cash usage as a total in the period. So for the fundamental elements of sort of the break-even EBITDA points, as well as cash flow neutral, as well as the CapEx spending the first 3 years still remain.
Okay, thank you. Just a detailed question on Bangladesh. I mean, the use came down in the second quarter for the first time in ever, perhaps. Is that a function of the less giving up less 3 minutes and the change in pricing plans, or should we expect the use to sort of trend down and stabilize at these kind of levels?
Well, it's more an effect of increased pricing due to the fact that we actually increased prices. But it's also, of course, as a result of slowing down some of the effects of the campaigns in Bangladesh, it is also, of course, a slight bit of 3 minutes. But the major effect is because of the increased pricing.
Okay, thank you.
This time only allows us to have one more question.
Peter Kognitsen, Sivra.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question relating to your discussions with Elsimo Group. Now, it's not your responsibility to comment on press speculation, but Elsimo people allegedly claimed that the issue of the merger between Vimpelcom and Kyivstar was sort of revived earlier in the year. Now, historically, the last time this issue was discussed, I'm well aware of what your position was then. You could say circumstances have perhaps changed a bit. Has anything changed in your view on a merger between Vimpelcom and Kyivstar, and would you care to outline how... Yeah, if so, how your view would be today?
There is no sort of new piece of information that I can bring to the table on that score. A settlement might involve a whole range of potential ways of combining the two or splitting the two, and our viewpoint remains the same in that respect.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this morning's Q&A session. Thank you all for joining us, and we're now...